It might be my favorite Christmas carol. Certainly we sing it a lot. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. Based upon that, a Canadian sculptor created what's become known as the Homeless Jesus. A rather remarkable sculpture, a sculpture of one lying down on a bench covered by his own coat. Much like so many of those characters in the nation's biggest cities, my guess would be also there are some here too. And if you look closely, if you look at those hands and those feet, you see the nail marks, and you know that this is your Savior. The homeless Jesus has caused no end of consternation, controversy after controversy. Even churches decreed, this is not what we want in our front lawn. How could we possibly bring in the right people to our church having to pass by that? It's been moved from at least two church campuses and has found its way to most seminaries and other public places. The homeless Jesus kind of makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? The same way John the Baptist does, and in the same truth-telling way. The same way John the Baptist, in those harsh, strong words, reminded us of one who was to come, who was different, who was truly, literally, and figuratively homeless. And our challenge in this Advent season is to prepare a place for that homeless Jesus. And so, the lessons of John the Baptist are many. Certainly, repentance is one of the most important things, but perhaps there are three things we must remember about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a perfect example for us in our own lives, in our own walks of faith, of letting God be God and how difficult that can be. Because, you see, letting God be God means some characters aren't quite to our tastes, are they? Some stories don't end quite the way we want them to. Some lessons are a little harder than others. Some make us distinctly uncomfortable. John was that way. He wouldn't be high on anyone's list to invite to a holiday party, would he? John the Baptist reminds us that when we let God be God, we admit that we are powerless, and we also admit that God can use the strangest people to lead others. Because John didn't have many attributes that you'd find in those business success books of what a good leader ought to be. He certainly didn't engender warm, fuzzy feelings, did he? But God is God. And when we let God be God, the most amazing things happen, don't they? The second thing I think we need to remember in connection with that is that John the Baptist is a perfect example throughout the Bible, many stories of how contentious confrontation works from God. When God confronts us, when God shows us the truth, when God shows us the way things should be instead of are, when God shows us the most unlikely of characters like John the Baptist, then God's kingdom is accomplished. John was good at confrontation. John wagged his finger, and John reminded all the religious authorities of that day how far they fell short. John reminds us of the power of judgment, which is God's judgment and not our judgment. And finally, as John said in his own words, John was the lesser character in this drama. John had a very active finger, not only wagging a finger at those who would listen, but pointing the way not to himself, but pointing to another. And that ultimately is the way that we need to deal with that homeless Jesus, pointing to him, pointing to Jesus as our Savior, pointing to Jesus as an example for the world, pointing to Jesus as one homeless, and challenging others to find a home for him, just as we do figuratively and literally for the homeless around us, for those who need to find a home with God. John sings a strange song, doesn't he? John sings a mix of admonition as well as acceptance. John told those who needed to hear it, you are accepted and loved by God, but then turned around and told the authorities, the ones who held the power, you will be judged. Acceptance and admonition. They're good reminders to us, especially in this Advent season of preparation. You remember kilns in grade school? I don't know if they still use them. When we'd make papier-mâché things and they were the oddest shaped objects. I know, do you still have the one that used to sit on our shelf? That odd little character?
Yes.
Yes, it's still there. I'll have to look for it sometime. I made one for my father one time. The ugliest slab of white mess you ever saw. And right in the middle of it was a picture of me, I believe, in about second grade with a baseball. Very dear. Whenever I went with my father on rounds or to his office in the hospital, sat down at that desk in that huge chair feeling more important than I ever could possibly do, it always caught my eye because he kept it in the center of his desk, perhaps as a paperweight, perhaps to hold a drink. Perhaps he brought it out because he knew his son was going to be there and wanted to make him feel good. There's a story told by William Mull of the same sort of situation. The last day of school, which is coming up soon, the first and second graders all gathered around with excitement, gathering all their stuff because they weren't going back to school for at least a week. They were so excited, and they had made papier-mâché gifts for their parents. And one young child, running as fast as he could, trying to balance everything, lost the battle. Crash. That papier-mâché thing didn't make it in the car. It fell on the pavement and shattered into 1,000 pieces. He was inconsolable. He'd worked so hard at it. And his father, desperately trying to settle the situation, as fathers often try to do, patted his young son on the head and said, "That's okay, son. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't make any difference." And his mother on the other side of the car, far more empathetic and, as mothers are, far more tuned into what needed to be said, burst into tears and said to her husband, "Of course it makes a difference." That's the story from John the Baptist. That's the story of admonition and admiration, of acceptance for who you are, of a reminder from God that you are so deeply loved as you are, but that actions also have consequences. I love you. Now go do something good. That's the kind way that we boil down John the Baptist's message. So John the Baptist perhaps was the first country and western singer, wasn't he? Because country and western music is all about that sort of thing. Brad Paisley in This Is Country Music said not much different from John the Baptist. "You're not supposed to say the word cancer in a song," he sang. And telling folks Jesus is the answer can sometimes rub them wrong. It ain't hip to sing about tractors, trucks, little towns, and mama. Yeah, that might be true, but this is country music, and we do. And so this day, as we continue this journey of considering the music of Christmas, the music of Advent, and the different ways in which it might be sung, let's add John the Baptist to our list as a country and western singer, as a twanger, as one who sings truthfulness in different ways. Country and western music has always been a benchmark for this country. And John the Baptist, not only is one who came in from the country, I like to think of him as our national conscience, one who speaks as a voice of the country. John the Baptist and his guitar must have really sung quite a song, eh? I don't know if you've heard of Shelley Wright. Grew up in Wellsville down in Ottawa County. She's a country and western singer. Riding the height of popularity, she came out of the closet. She's gay, and she was a lot of her fans were repelled by it. She's also a very deep Christian singer. She says she sings to glorify God, and she wants to tell the story of God to all who will listen. Not much different from John the Baptist, is it? If you've ever seen the movie Crazy Heart, the same story flows through there. An old ex-addict trying to fight his demons twangs a country song, plays a guitar, and says, "I used to be somebody, now I'm somebody else." all strains of John the Baptist. And so in this holiday season, I hope you'll carry a song in your heart, a country and western song perhaps, or last week as we talked about the blues, or 2 weeks ago, as difficult as it may be, maybe a rap song, a little hip-hop to stir your spirits. We sing together. We sing a song of joy. We sing a song of love. We sing a song of truth. And we gather around a table to be fed so that we might go out into the world like John the Baptist to remind everyone how deeply they are loved and how much God expects from them. That admonition and admiration is intermingled. And to the strains of the country and western music that even infuses our pew hymnals, I hope you'll add your own refrains. For one who died for us, for one who was born for us, for one homeless who still seeks a home. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.